Today's shiur is dedicated by Peter Merker in memory of Evelyn Merker, Chava Bas Maisha. Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph from the top line. Our Gemara, our Mishnah taught us that Rabbi Shua holds that if somebody says to someone else that this field belonged to your father, this property belonged to your father, v'lekachti mimenu, and I bought it from him, then, and that he's Neman, with Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. And as we've been learning in our Shiurim, the Gemara has been focused, why does the Mishnah have to speak about a case where somebody's speaking to someone else about their father's property? Why can it not be speaking about a case where he's speaking to them about property that he and this other person, or something that involves the two of them, why do we have to come up with a case with the father? And that's the Gemara's question. For listening, why don't we speak about a case that my Rabbi Shua, the Rabbi Shua agrees, that I borrowed a money from you, and I paid it back, because, and he doesn't need to make a shua, because Peshasa Peshiter. If not for the fact that I admitted that you owe me the money, we wouldn't have any litigation. And as we discussed in our previous year, the difference between the case here, the Gemara said, and the cases in the previous parak, is that in the previous parak, we had what the Gemara called Shor Shochet Lufanecha. We had a clear question in front of us, because as we discussed in that parak, we had a case where the husband was coming and saying that Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, or whatever claim that he was making. But here, again, it's the husband, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, this person is initiating the claim, and therefore, since he's the one that's initiating the claim, but he's also coming with a Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter, he ought to be believed. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos learns the Gemara that even when the person who's admitting that he owes the money, was the one that did not initiate this back and forth. In other words, in referring to situations, says Tosfos, where the person came to him and he said he owed money, still, Tosfos says he could have made a claim. His claim could have been that I don't owe you any money. And if he would have made that claim, it would be a winning claim. And since by making that claim, it's a winning claim, then that should be the case where Rabbi Shua should say, this is considered a situation of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter, and he should therefore be believed. That's the Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. There's also a question amongst the Rishonim, what would be the halacha regarding a Shavuos Heses? We know that in many situations, that even if there's no obligation to make a Shavuos Midaraisa, there's a Shavuos Midarabonim. Would there be an obligation to make a Shavuos Hesed? Rashi seems to say that he would have to still make a Shavuos Hesed. But if that's the case, so then why is this considered the same as a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitam? And therefore, the Rishash says, what Rashi means to say, Rashi's going l'shitosai, explains the Rishash, that only in the case where the other side began this conversation, and yes, he's believed with the Pesha Asa Pesha Hitam, because he could have denied owing anything, but explains the Rishash, but since he's the one that began the back and forth, that's why there's at least a Shavuos Heses. But in a case, says the Rishash, where nobody claimed any money from him, and he on his own came along and said, I borrowed money from you, but I had paid it back, Rashi and everyone would agree that because he has a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter, he doesn't have to pay anything. So he doesn't have to pay because of a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter, nor does he have to make a Shavua. So if that's the case, the Gemara's question is a very strong question. Why could that not have been the case of our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. Because the continuation in our Mishnah is becoming the Royal Misni Sefer. In the Sefer we learn that Yesh Edim Shulavim Menu, that there were Edim that he actually borrowed the money, Vuam Imperative, and he would say, I paid it back, the halacha is, Ein Neman. That would be the corollary of the Reisha. And it says the Gemara, that actually is not halachically correct. The Kaimlon, the halacha is, Hamalvas chaveroi be'edim, if you borrow money from someone else with edim, ain't tzarech lefaroi be'edim. You don't have to pay back with edim. And therefore, by you claiming that you paid back the money, even though he has proof that you borrowed the money, and you don't have proof that you owe the, that you paid it back, he still believed. Because people do not have to pay back loans with edim. But it's important to point out that even though that is the halacha, hamavas chaver be'edim ein tzarech lefar be'edim, the Shulchan Aruch in Chayshe Mishpat teaches us, this is a Chayshe Mishpat, Simen Ayin Sif Aleph, hamavas chaver be'edim, if somebody borrows money, kinyan v'lay shtar, with his just borrowed money, ein tzarech lefar be'edim, he doesn't have to pay him back with edim, he can be forced, as we mentioned a moment ago, to make a shvus hesses and say, I paid you back. Aval im kibel kinyan afil b'loy shtar, l'yochala im peroti, but if there was a kibbles kinyan around that loan, l'yochala im peroti, he can't say, I paid you back. The kal kinyan shaksiva oimid. If there was a kinyan, it's as if it was written, v'yesh cholken, and there are those that agree that even if there was a kinyan attached to the shtar, to the loan, you don't have to pay back with edim. But says the Shulchan Aruch Ikka Kesvar Rishoyna, Deina Nama Loimim Prati Neged Eda Kinyan. However, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to explain that it's always inappropriate to lend, to borrow money without edim. Because, as the Shach explains, even if the person who is borrowing the money is a Talmud Chacham, certainly a very honest individual, because we're concerned, explain the Noisa Kalim, that the person, honest people, are very preoccupied and they'll forget. And therefore, the right thing is to have Edim, or if not Edim, as the Shulchan Aruch said, even better, is to have a Shtar. And like that, as long as I owe you the money, you the Malva, hold on to the Shtar, and when I pay you back, you rip up the Shtar and, or give it back to me. And the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, "Echayshe Mishpat Simen Ayin Sif Gimel." The Kala Malvable Edim. Anyone who lends money without Edim, over Meshum Leisita Mechshel, he's causing the possible Avera. The Garim Klal Atzma, and he causes that people should curse him when he doesn't ultimately pay back what he's supposed to be paid back. So the Tzitz Eliezer, the Shas Shuvat Tzitz Eliezer, Echelik Zion, Simon Mem Zion, has a discussion why we find that people borrow, lend money without any edim. And he says that the Aruch HaShulchan in Simon Ayin Sif Aleph discusses this. He says this, that people do lend money to each other, people nice to each other, they want to do chesed to each other, and therefore people rely that they can lend money without edim. And the Aruch HaShulchan himself seems to say that he doesn't really understand, that this question, this answer doesn't really satisfy the question. And he quotes a Ritva saying that what we just learned in the Shulchan Aruch and the others who are so strict that whenever you borrow and lend money, there should be edim, says the Ritva that that's not really a chiyuv d'oraisa. It's only a midas chassidus. It's only a proper thing to do. And that's why people are not so makbid. The Stechemid also quotes that Ritva. And he also says that even though we have the Ritva, he says it's obvious that one should not rely on that Ritva. Because even though we're not dealing with an issa d'oraisa, still the issue is that we have to be concerned, as we mentioned, that people forget, or other things like that come up. And the Shas Tshuvas Pri Yitzchak also attempts in Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Ches to explain why people are lenient. So too is there a tshuva in the Shas Tshuvas Yabi Oimer, Chelek Zayin, Chelek Chayshe Mishpat, Simen Zayin, and they all agree that the appropriate thing is that there should always be edim. They do include that if there's a mashkin, if you put down security, or if you put down a check, a post-dated check, so then those are all reasons that perhaps where we could be more lenient. But under normal circumstances, they all very much agree that the proper thing to do is when you lend, when you borrow money, there should be eidim there, and with it, or a shtar, that everything should be very clear who owes what. So the Gemara says, "V'lisni." So Gemara asks another question again on our Mishnah. V'lisni, why doesn't our Mishnah speak again when we want to have the litigants speaking directly to each other, not about something that was owed by the father? So ask the Gemara, V'lisni, Maidir Abshuba, Imel Chaveroi, Mano Avicha Biyadi, I borrowed $100 from your father, V'chaltiv Pras, and I paid him back half. The halacha is his neman. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though normally throughout halacha, the halacha is that if somebody is koifra kol, if somebody completely denies the money that's owed, there the halacha is that he's believed, as we just said, under certain circumstances, and under certain circumstances, there's a requirement for shavuos heses, but midaraisa is believed. In a case where it's a, where he's koifra kol, where he completely denies that he owes any money, then the halacha is he's believed. If he's a maida b'miksus, he's not believed, as we'll learn extensively in our shir today. But if he's a koifer akol, he's believed. Says the Gemara, that cannot be, so that should be the case where he says that he should be believed because he has a pesha, also pesha hitter. Says the Gemara, leave it the man. Exactly whose opinion would that be represent? Elaim the Rabbanan, if we're going to say that our Mishnah would be following the opinion of Rabbanan, Ha'amri, as we're going to learn, the opinion of the Rabbanan is that if a Yairish asks for money that he's that his father was owed, and the Loiva admits that I paid half, he's Neman without a Shvuah, because he's a Meshav Aveda. It's considered that he's returning money that he could have denied, and therefore he doesn't have to make a Shvuah. So if we're saying that Yeshua agrees with the Chachamim, why that does he have to speak about a case of Ein Shor Shochet Lefanecha, where the loiva on his own came to admit that halacha is under all circumstances he would be relieved. We believe that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Hamer Shvuah Bay. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov actually holds that he doesn't subscribe to this concept that we're about to speak about Meshav Aveda, and he says that he would have to make a Shvuah. The Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Pomim Shadim Nishba Al Tanis Atzmai. There's sometimes where a person, he initiated the conversation and still he has to make the Shvuah. Ketzad, the situation would be, like we're discussing, Manal Avicha Biyadi, somebody comes and says, I owe your father money, I owed your father $100, V'chaltiv Pras, and I paid him back half, V'aloch is Hareza Nishba. That even though he was the one that initiated the conversation, he would have to make a shvuah. The Chamaimrim, disagree. And they hold that Einam El Kamesha Aveda Potter. Since he didn't have to come and admit what he admitted, since he didn't have to admit what he had did, he's accordingly not mechuyev to make a shvuah. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even when the loiva came on his own, without anybody making any claim against him, the halacha is that he would have to pay, because since he would still have to pay. So according to Rabbanan, you never have to make a shvuah. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you always have to make a shvuah. So now the question is, if he's a moida be'atzmai, that he's part of Pesha Asur, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he's always going to be chayiv to make a shvuah. And according to Rabbanan, even he'll never have to make a shvuah, even if it's not a case of Pesha Asur Pesha Itta. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, less like Kamesha Vavedu Potter, does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov not subscribe to the concept of Mesha Aveda? The halacha is that the Gemara asks that seemingly everybody agrees to the concept of Mesha Aveda. And Rashi explains that the Gemara in Masech de Gittin, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, teaches us that if somebody finds something and he returns it to the owner, and the owner make a claim that you didn't give me back everything that I lost, the person who returns it doesn't have to make a shvua that I didn't keep part of it. And the Rishonim give two explanations why not. One say it's a takana midrabanan. It's a takana midrabanan that Chazal wanted to encourage that people should return something that they find. If by returning something that I find, I may end up in a situation where I'm going to have to make a shvur, so I'm going to say I'm not returning what I found. That's one pshat. The other, that's Rashi's pshat. Taisus has a different pshat. Taisus says that everybody who returns something has a migui. And the migui is that he could have said that I didn't find anything. And if he would have said that, if he would have said that's what happened, he would certainly be believed. So therefore, when he says that I returned everything that I found, he is believed. The Cheshuka Chemed has a very interesting discussion around this concept. He discusses a situation where there was somebody who wasn't feeling well, and he was living by himself, and he called the Hatzalah to come see, to come help him. That Saul came and took care of him. And now he's making a claim against the Hatzalah member who came to see him, because he's claiming that I had an expensive watch on the table when you came to take care of me. And there's nobody else that was here to take care in my house besides you. And therefore, it must be that you were the one that stole my watch. The person, the Hatzalah member, says that this is a situation of Meisha Aveda. Meisha Aveda is, he's saying, I came and I did you a favor. You needed help, you needed care, and I came, and now I'm going to have to make a shvur that you're going to have a din Torah against me that I stole. What is the halacha? Is the halacha that he's believed or not? So the Cheshuka Chemed makes, so at first glance, it should be the exact same situation as we just learned in our Gemara. This should be considered a case of Meisha Aveda. He came and did the right thing and helped this person, and now he's being made swear. Says the Cheshuka Chemed that it's not really the same. Here, the claim regarding the case that we gave of Meisha Aveda is a claim where I'm returning something that you lost. And I return it to you, I return your wallet, and you open up your wallet, and you say, well, there was more money in the wallet, you must have stolen some of the money. So the claim and the counterclaim, the claim that's being made against me who found it, is regarding the thing that I am returning to you. And therefore, Chazal said, as we just learned, Rashi's Pshat, Taisus Pshat, that I am believed, and I'm a Meshav Aveda. But explains the Cheshuka Chemed, here it's two separate claims. The fact that this person, that Saul member, came to help the person who wasn't feeling well is a wonderful thing. It's a fantastic mitzvah. But it has absolutely no connection to the claim that this person is making that you stole something from me. And therefore, since the two issues are really not related, that cannot be considered, he says, a situation of Meshiv Aveda. And because it can't be considered a situation of Meshiv Aveda, he says, as hard as it is to accept, the halach would actually require that the Hatzalah member, in this case, should have to make a shvuas hesis that it was not he that paid, that took the watch that was on the table. So the Gemara's question is that we learned that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if somebody comes on his own and says that I owed your father money and I paid it back, I paid back partial, that he still has to make a shvua might of a mixus, the question is, why would he have to make such a shvua? Why would he not be considered a Meshav Aveda? And as we just explained, the Gemara Masechta Gittin teaches us that presumably everybody agrees that Meshav Aveda need not make a Shvuah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav Lezer would agree that in a case where this loiva came on his own, it would be considered a Meshav Aveda. The question here is, B'tana Katan, where the Malva comes and says that you owe me money. And that's where he says that the loiva would have to make a Shvuah. But ask the Gemara, Vamamar, have we not learned in the Masech to Shavuos, the Aflamet Chesam Abeis, Ein Nishboin, Altanis Chereshoit V'Kotten. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Kitin Ish Elareyu, Kesef Akelim Lishmar, V'Gunas Beis Ish, and the Torah says that if we don't find the Ganef, the Shomer has to swear. So we see the Pasuk says, Kitin Ish Elareyu, we're speaking specifically about an Ish, but if it's not an Ish, then the halacha is that he would have to swear. That if he's not an ish, he doesn't have to swear. So why over here are we saying that he has to swear? Answers the Gemara, what Rab meant when he said cotton, it means a godel. But the question is, so why curly cotton? Why is it called cotton? Answers the Gemara, the El Gabim Mila de Aviv, as far as somebody in his father's issues, his father's finances, cotton who? Because he doesn't really know what his father did or didn't owe or was paid back. And therefore, that's why, he makes a shvua. Yehochi asked the Gemara that the case that we're speaking about is that the Malva, who is the son of the Malva, who is a godel, comes to make a claim against him. Ask the Gemara, why is that considered Tanis Atzmai? Tanis Achirim he. It's the Yorish of the Malva who's coming to make a claim. Answers the Gemara, what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov meant to say was, Tanis Achirim Midas Atzmai. It means that somebody's making a claim against him, the Malva's adult son, and he's admitting. Ask the Gemara, all case of Moed B'Miksis is Tanis Achirim Vidas Atzmai, where somebody makes a claim against me, and I partially admit. So why would that be? Why would he say that sometimes it's a case that you don't make a shvua, and sometimes you do make a shvua? This is a regular case of Maida B'Miksis. Says the Gemara that we're talking about. Okay, so the Gemara goes back and says that we're referring here to a situation where a claim is being made a cotton, who's the Yoirish of the Malva. And even though the halacha is that Einish Bona Tanis Cotton, as we mentioned a moment ago, that is only if the cotton is the one that's making a claim against me. But in a case where the cotton is making a claim against me, not his own claim, but it's a claim that he's making that somebody owed his father money, then the halacha is, according to Blazer, that it's you have to make a shvu of Moedim and Mixus. And according to the Chachamim, that even though this individual who's making the claim against me is a cotton, but his claim emanates from his father, the halacha is that's not considered that he has to make a shvua. And actually, the Chachamim will hold that even if it's a godel who's making the claim, but the claim that's being made by the godel is because of the father, that it's not his own claim, it's also not considered Moedim Mixus. Because says the Gemara, the Gemara explains that the machloikus between Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is around the concept that Rabbi taught us. Dama Rabbi, Neymar Amr Torah Moedim Mixus Atani Yeshava. The whole concept of Moedim Mixus is a difficult concept to understand, explains Rabbi. Here, if we would think about it, the person who is responding and saying that he's a Moedim Mixus is actually being very correct. He's saying the truth. I owe you only this much. And dafka there, that's where the Torah says that I have to make a shvua. Why? Damarava. Neima Amr Torah Moedim Mixus Tani Yeshava. Because the answer is, Chazaka Ein Adam Meiz Panim B'Al Chayvai. So Rashi explains that what the Gemara means to say is, here somebody did me a favor. Somebody lent me money. A person doesn't have the chutzpah to face the person who lent him money and say, I owe you nothing. So he says, but he doesn't have the ability to pay what he owes. So that's why he's moedim amixis. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says, if that would be the case, there are two places where the Torah speaks about a moedim amixis. One is where somebody lent somebody else money. And in that case, we could understand Rashi Svara. Rashi Svara, that I don't have the chutzpah to face the person who lent me money and tell him, I don't owe you anything. That's called En Odomeis B'Fal Chayvay. But, as Tosfos, there's another case of Moedim Amixis. Tosfos says that the other case that the Torah speaks about Moedim Amixis is where somebody left a pikadon by somebody else. Somebody left with me something to watch. And after he left with me something to watch, he comes and says, give me back what I left with you to watch. And I say that I don't have it. In such a case, let's think it through, says Tosfos. Here, you didn't do me a favor. I actually did you a favor, that I'm prepared to watch something of yours. So if Rashi is correct, as Tosfos, so there, the svar of Ein Adam Meis, that I'm not going to I'm not going to talk that way to somebody who did me a favor, isn't applicable. So why does the Torah say in such a case that it's still considered a situation of Moedim Amixis? And therefore, because of this question, Tosfos has a different explanation in Moedim Amixis. He says that there's certain times that there's only that much of a lie a person is willing to say. And to say to a person who lent you money or left with you a pikadon that you didn't give back, and to say brazenly, I owe you nothing, is a tremendous chutzpah to lie that openly. And that's why the halacha is, the Torah says you have to make a shvuah. V'hai, b'kulah by the lifgrei. So, as we just said, if he had his druthers, he would completely deny owing anything. V'hai the loy kafalei, why is he not doing it? As we just said, b'shum de'ein odameis panafu. He doesn't have that chutzpah. So if that's the case, that we're speaking about a person that he doesn't have the chutzpah to do so, given the two pshatim that Rashi and Tosfos just gave, so then why doesn't he admit what he's supposed to? Or as I saw the Rishonim point out, so why shouldn't every situation be considered a Meshav Aveda? Because the Rabbi could by lay delay. He really wants to admit that he owes the money. For hay delay I delay, why didn't he admit that he owes the whole money? He doesn't have the money. So he wants to be able to figure things out. For Sava ad the Havale Zuzi, so he thinks to himself, until I have the ability to pay back, and then when I have the money, I'll pay back. Because of this psychology, says the Gemara, the Torah says, Rami Shvuale, we make this person make a shvua, in order that he should admit that he owes the entire money. So the way Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is that, so what have we accomplished by telling him to make a shvua of Moedim Amixis? Shouldn't we be concerned that he's going to lie? Because that we see, if we're concerned that this person is a liar, so why should we not be concerned that he's going to lie and make a false shvua? So that's why the Gemara explains, says Rashi, that this person is really not a bad person. He's just a person that unfortunately doesn't have the funds to pay back. And if he had the ability, he would pay back everything he owns. And therefore, Gemara says, what we should do is that make him swear, and that's something that he won't do. He won't swear falsely. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that if we're concerned that this person is saying a lie, we also have to be concerned that he's going to swear falsely. But Tosfos explains that even though that a person is going to, a person does that, still, a Maida B'Mixus could have said, I owe nothing. And what the Gemara means to say is, going back to Tosfos Pshat that we learned earlier, he has a migui. If he wanted, he could have said that I owe nothing. The fact that he was on, he said that he owns half is a proof that he's not such a terrible person. And he's going to, if when it comes to swear, he's not going to swear falsely. And it continues the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Sover, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that this back and forth that we just had in the Gemara, there's no difference, loishna boy, loishna b'mnoi. Rather, it's to the person who I borrowed the money from, or if it's his son. Ein ameyiz. The back and forth of ein oda meyiz, and that psychology applies in all situations. V'hilkach, and therefore, in all situations, it's not considered a meshiv aveda. Rabbanan savri, whereas the opinion of the Rabbanan is, boy who the ein ameyiz. A person who did a favor to me, Rashi says, I don't have the chutzpah to lie in his face. Or Taisus Pshat, a person who did a person who did for me a favor did something for me, I won't lie in his face. Av benoy, meis, towards his son, he doesn't have those feelings. Or midalai hayis, so he would have no problem, according to Taisus, to be a Rashi, he would have no problem in these cases to be a Kaifer HaKol. And the fact that he was not a Kaifer HaKol, the fact that he was a Moed of a Mixus, is a Raya that what he's a Meshav Aveda, is a Raya that he's saying the truth, and therefore he's trusted. There's an interesting Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the opinion of the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim speak about a case whether the son is saying what he's saying it because I know, or he's saying it in the name of his father. Does that make a difference? Or under all circumstances, the halacha will be that the, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's considered a case of Moed of a Mixus, and according to Rabbanan, it's considered a case of Meshav Aveda. As we begin our next Mishnah, our Sugya, there are a number of halachas that we have to learn as an introduction. When we have a shtar, and a shtar is signed, a signed shtar, midaraisa, is really considered 100% acceptable testimony. If we see a shtar, as the Rishonim explain in many places, people are not accused of falsifying, forging a shtar. And if we see a shtar that is in front of us, we could be confident that the shtar is accurate and whatever it says is the halacha. Chachama, however, instituted that if the loiver walks in and says that the shtar is mezuyif, that the shtar is a forgery, the halacha is that you can require that you should be mekayim the shtar, that we should certify the shtar. Moreover, when we have a shtar, we need not be concerned that the Edom who are signed on the shtar were disqualified. So if we have a shtar and two Edom come and say that this shtar is a forgery, or they come with other claims, most notably as we're going to be discussing in the Mishnah, that they claim that there was a disqualification with the Edom who signed on the shtar, that would be considered a situation of trey u trey. It would be a situation that we can't be certain how to treat the shtar, and therefore the halacha is that a loan that has the strength of a shtar, this will not be considered a loan that has behind it the strength of a shtar, because the halacha is a loan that's written in a shtar, the malva can collect from lekuchas. Anybody or property becomes mortgaged to a loan that's in a shtar. And not only does all property become mortgaged to a loan in the shtar, the halacha actually is that anybody who bought property from the loiva after the time of the shtar, that property that he bought is property that that is mortgaged to the loiva first. Once we have this situation of uncertainty, we can't call it that type of a loan. If the Edom who are signed on the shtar come and say that they never signed, that this shtar is a forgery, or that they were posel edus, the halacha is like this. If the shtar was mekuyim, if the shtar is already certified without what they're saying, so then the shtar doesn't need them, and the shtar is fine. But if without their, but if we don't know the status of the shtar, and the only thing that makes the shtar valid is they're saying that the shtar is a shtar that they were part of, but they also are saying it has disqualification, this is a case of Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter. I only know that the shtar is valid because of what they're saying. But at the same time, they're saying that there's a problem with the shtar, and that's going to be case of Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter. And as we begin to learn the Mishnah and the Gemara in a moment, that will be a case when do we accept what they say, when do we not accept what they're saying. We spoke about the certification of a shtar. There are a number of ways to certify the shtar. One is when the dayanim, where there's a din Torah about the shtar, recognize the signature of the edim. Another way is that if the edim who are signed on the shtar sign a piece of paper in front of the Beis Din, and the Beis Din compares the signatures, and they're able to say that these two signatures are the same. Another case is when the edim come and testify that the signature on the shtar is their signature. Another case is that other people could come and say testimony that we know that this is the signature of those edim. Or a fifth method is if we have edim signed in a shtar, and there's another shtar in Beis Din which is a that was signed by the same edim, and that is a certified shtar. The fact that we have another shtar, another certified shtar with these edim and Beis Din, that's a method how to certify the shtar that's in question. So says the Mishnah, Edom Shamru, if Edom come on a shtar that's in question in Beis Din, and they say, Ksav Yudeinu Zeh, that the signature on this shtar is indeed our signature, Aval Anusim Hayinu, we were Anusim, that when we signed the shtar. And the Gemara is going to speak about what does Anusim mean. Ketanim Hayinu, we were Ketanim, of course Ketanim are not qualified to be Edom. Psule Edis Hayinu, and there are a number of situations of psule edus. One is that they were relatives, and relatives are not kosher to be edim. Another way is that they were disqualified because they were mesachik bekuvya. They were people who gamble. And throughout Shas, we know that a person who is a mesachik bekuvya gambles and lends money on interest and does business with shmita payris are all psule edus. And all these cases, hare elu namanim. And Rashi explains that since they are the ones that are certifying the shtar, the same time that they're certifying the shtar, they also are saying that there's a problem with the shtar, and therefore, that's why Rashi explains that this is considered a situation, as we mentioned a moment ago, a pesha asur, pesha hitter. Tysus asks a question, how can we rely pesha asur, pesha hitter, when we have a shtar in front of us, and we have a shtar that has good edim signed on it? Why would we be able to disqualify the shtar? So Taisa says, since at the same moment that they're testifying that it's their signature, they're also saying there's a problem, it's like they never said that it's a good shtar. Or Taisa says, what the Gemara is teaching us here is that a shtar that is not mekuyim, a shtar which is not certified, is inherently weak. And therefore, says the Mishnah, v'im yesh edim shuksav yodam, but if there are edim that could testify that this is their signature, oisha, as we spoke about also, oisha ksuvim memakam acher, we could recognize ksav yodam yotzim memakam acher, we don't need them to testify that this is their signature, because we recognize the signature from another certified shtar, that ain't among them. Says the Gemara, amra mevachama, lo yishanu el sh'amra nusim hayinu machasman. When don't we said that we don't believe them, if we don't need them for the kiyum, we don't believe them. That's only when they said that we were forced, when they were forced financially. They were told that if you won't sign this false shtar, we'll force you to give up some money. And a person is not allowed to do that. And since he wasn't allowed to do that, What he's saying is that he did something wrong. And therefore, in that case, we will not believe what he said. Aval, if they said, Anusim Hayinu Machnas Nefashos, where they were threatened with their life, that if they were, if they're not going to sign the shtar, they will be killed. This is not a situation where one has to give up his life for such a situation. So they didn't do anything wrong by saying, by signing the shtar. So Tosfos asks, so the Gemara is saying there's a difference if they say Anusim Hayinu Machnas Mamon versus if they say Anusim Hayinu Machnas Nefashos. So ask Tosfos, why, if they said Anisim Hayinu Machnas Mamon and do not believe with a migui, what is the definition of a migui? Believe me with my weaker claim, because I could have had a stronger claim. What would have been the stronger claim? The stronger claim would have been that we were Anusim Machnas Nefashos. Why aren't they believed? So Tosfos answers that the only time we accept a migui is only in a case where it's a claim that is a claim that we can accept. It's a claim that's shchich, that's common. That somebody's life should be threatened because if you won't sign the shtar, we'll kill you, is highly irregular and highly unusual, and therefore it can't be used as a title for migui. Amalei Rava. So Rava asks Rav Milchama, that we just said that if they said Anusim Hayinu Machnas Nefashos, Harei Eilu Namanim, we'll trust them. But asks Rava, Kol Kaminei, can we trust them? Even that case, isn't there a rule throughout Shas that Kivin Shechigid Shem Nechayzer Magid? The Torah says, explains Rashi, Im Lo Yagid V'Nosa Avonai. So Rashi says that the Pasuk says that Im Lo Yagid, the once you can, once you say something, it can't go back. Rashi says another pshat. The halacha is that if somebody swears falsely that I don't know testimony on your behalf, and then he admits that he does, that's the entire case where you have to bring a certain carbon oil of yarid, shvuas ha'edis. But if, says Rashi, the halacha would allow a person to always go back and forth, so why would, on his testimony, why would it be considered a case that the of a finality? I could always change my mind. And therefore, we learn from here, Kivin Shehugud Shav Enichayzum Magid. The Ritva has a different pshat. The Ritva's pshat is that the Torah says, Apishnei Edom Yakim Dover. What does that mean? The Torah gives tremendous strength to two Edom. Says the Ritva, if Edom could reverse themselves, then that's not considered that the Torah gave them tremendous strength. Another pshat that the Beis Yosef suggests, that if somebody could reverse themselves, so that means that when he said the first testimony, he was saying something which was not true. And of course, we never accept false testimony. Very interesting machloikus achroinim. As we discussed at the end of Masechta Yevamos, there are certain places where the Torah says that Eid Echad Neman Bisu, Eid Echad Neman, that the Eid Echad is trusted. The most common situation is in a situation of kashrus, where somebody, where I come to someone's house that and that person says that the food is kosher, I can believe him. Eid Echad Neman Bisurim. The question is that the Achrayim debate, this rule that we just said of Kivin Shegid, Shiv Enechayzim and Magid by Edim, does it apply only by two Edim, or does it apply even by the testimony of one Ed, where the Torah accepts the testimony of one Ed? And it's probably very connected to the Machloikus Rishonim that we just quoted. What is the basis for the halacha of Kivin Shegid, Shiv Enechayzim and Magid? Says the Gemara, V'chi Teima, and if you'll suggest that Hani Mili, when is there a halacha of Kivin Shegid, Shiv Enechayzim and Magid? Al Peh, when Edom offered oral testimony, al b'shtar loy, but if it was offered on a shtar, then it's not. As the Gemara, that can't be. V'amar Shlokish, Edom achsum al shtar, Edom who was signed to a shtar, nas kamish nakra edusim bezdin. Bezdin considers that shtar as if it was offered in Bezdin. And therefore, why could they now come and say, we signed, but there was an issue, anusim ayinu maknas nefashos? Says the Gemara, Kiyatmar, says the Gemara, Rava reinterprets what Rabbi Bachama said. Rabbi Bachama is saying, is actually referring to the Reish of the Mishnah. And in Reish of the Mishnah, we learned, Ha'edim Sh'amr K'sav Yudeinu Zeh, Ava Nisa Yinu, Harel Anamanim, says Rabbi Bachama, Lo Yishanu K'sh'amr Anusim Yinu Makhnus Nefashis, when they say that, then we'll believe them. Ava Amru Anusim Yinu Makhnus Mamin, if they say we were Anusim, but we were Anusim Makhnus Mamin, Ein Amanim. Then there's a reason that they should not be believed. The reason they can't believe is because my tama ain't other meismatz marasha. A person is not believed to say something that by saying what he's saying, he turns into a rasha. The halacha doesn't accept it. Rashi explains why is there a halacha of ain't other meismatz marasha? Because adam karav etzel atzmai. A person is related to himself, and since one is not empowered to say testimony regarding someone else, he can't say testimony regarding himself. Taisus asks a question. There's a halacha throughout Shas of Palgin and Debura. Palgin and Debura, says Taisus, teaches us that we could split the statement made by a person. So why, when the people come and say, Anusumayinu Machmas Mamin, we don't accept what they say, why don't we say, Palgin and Debura? We'll accept what they say, that they'll say Anusim, but we won't accept their statement of Machmas Mamin. So Taisus gives a number of answers. He says that, as we said in our introductory remarks to the Mishnah, Midaraisa, when a shtar is offered to us, the Torah says that that's all we need. This whole concept that we've learned, that we're going to be learning, is about a case of, is only midrabanan, that you need kiyum. In a case when the entire requirement is only midrabanan, there we don't do palgin and debura. Another explanation, Taisa says, and that goes back to something that we mentioned earlier, to say palgin and debura and say that he said a nusumayinu, but we don't accept it was machmas mamin, we accept machmas nefashis. Since machmas nefashis, as we said a few moments ago from Taisus, is loy shchiach, since it's loy shchiach, we can't use palgin and debura to say that something happened here, which was loy shchiach. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that this is not the type of a statement that could be divided into two. Saying that we're anusim is not a separate phrase from saying that we signed it, Avla Nusim. It's all one statement. We only could do Palgin and Debura when we have a statement that could be broken into two phrases. The Sefer Avodas Yisrael says that the Torah says, regarding the Machzor HaShekel, Ha'osher lo yarba, v'dal lo yamit. So he explains that this pasuk is not only speaking about how much you have to give for Machzor HaShekel, that you shouldn't give a Machzor HaShekel, you shouldn't give more than a Machzor HaShekel, nor less than a Machzor HaShekel. He says that the Gemara, in Masechta Kedushin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, says that a person should always look at himself as a Beinoni. A person can't consider himself a tzaddik. Who is a person that could say about himself he's a tzaddik? On the other hand, we just learned in our Gemara that ain't other Meis Rasha. A person can't say that he's a Rasha. So therefore, Ha'osher lo yarba, the person who is indeed an usher in mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim, lo yarba, he should not say that he's great. He should only consider himself, as the Gemara Masechta Kedushin says, as a beinoni. Vadal, and even if you have an individual who's a dal, who is a person that is weak in mitzvahs, but he shouldn't say that he's a rasha, because ain't other ma'isim atzma rasha. A dal lo yamit, a person should not say that he's less that he's a Rasha. And therefore, when the Gemara says that everybody should consider himself a Beinoni, is what we say. We spoke extensively in our shiur today about the concept of Ein Adam Meis Panav B'Fnei Baal Chayvei. The person, there's certain things that you won't say in front of a person who did you a favor. So that's, I saw a beautiful pshat, that every morning, as we finish the Birchas HaShachar, we make the bracha of Agoy Melchasod and Toivim Lam Yisrael, and then we start a Yirotzen. And the Yirotzen, we say that we shouldn't be as a ponim. What is the connection? The connection is that we say Shetzelenim as a ponim. What's the connection? We start the day with Birchas HaShachar. And we speak about all the chesedim, all the wonderful things HaKadosh Baruch Hu does on our behalf. And we just say, and we just said, that when somebody does you a favor, you're careful how you react to the person who did a favor to you. So after we recognize that HaGoyim El Chesedim Toivim, after we recognize all the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, we indicate Shetzelenim Azeponim. We shouldn't be Azeponim and not always recognize all the chesed Hashem does for us. A person, as we spoke about extensively earlier in our shir, who does a favor on our behalf, is a person that we have to respect and be nice to. And that's why there's nobody who does more for us than Hashem. And therefore, we, chas v'shalom, should always never be, not recognize that, but on the contrary, we should always recognize and be the beneficiaries of HaGoyim El Chasodim Toivim L'Am Yisrael.